You're listening to Am I the Bowlcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering that's ever happened. My name is Mike Carrozza, and I am your host for the show, Am I the Bowlcast. I'm the writer of the Am I the Bowlist column over at CommandersHerald.com. I'm also a stand-up comedian, and I've also been feeling pretty sick lately, which is why you may have noticed that I haven't thrown to my co-hosts yet or asked them to chime in or have chat or introduce them. Michael Solani, of course, you know, as Games Freak SA. You can go to gamesfreaksa.info to check him out. And Morgan Sanchez is our super producer, who is a literal genius, who you can follow at Indigo Gentleman on Twitter. They're not with me today because I've canceled on them twice because I have not been feeling well. I've been feeling pretty ill, but I didn't want to delay the episode coming out. So here I am alone. We're going to forego the podcast's conceit today. We're just going to say we're going to get into it. I do want to say, before you reach out and ask if I'm doing okay, I'm going to be fine. Just saw a doctor today. My doctor said I will be okay. I've got a stitch of a stomach issue that, essentially, as someone who grew up a really picky eater and who eats a lot of garbage, it has been a long time coming, if I'm being honest with myself, which I find myself being since this is a bit more of a vulnerable opening to an episode. So I'll be okay. It just means that I got to make some life changes, and that's not always a bad thing. So that said, before we dive in to the podcast, into the interview with our guest who called in, quote, end quote, I got to talk about our sponsor. Our sponsor remains Cardsphere.com. Cardsphere, where your cards are your wallet. Essentially, you could put up your entire collection of stuff that you want to get rid of and have a list of things that you want to trade for. And people online will just send them over or take them off your hands. And it's super easy to work with, super easy to use. You don't even have to put money into it. You just have to start trading. Morgan, as you know, has been on the hunt for Odyssey Block foils to complete the set. And Cardsphere is like 70% of how she's acquired them so far. She's really been hunting them down. So please message her on Twitter and see if you've got any Odyssey Block foils, you know, Odyssey Torment and Judgment to send her away. I'm pretty sure she'd be happy to hear from you. That said, Cardsphere.com. We have a referral link in our description for the episode and the last couple episodes. It would mean a lot to me if you followed that and signed up or just started using the website. It'll let them know that we sent you. And it's good for us as a podcast to have stuff like that go well. So if you like the podcast, it'd be really cool to support us. And also, you're going to find that it's a tool you'll turn to find some cards that are pretty hard to find and that, surprisingly, people are trying to get rid of. So it's a great tool. Cardsphere, get your cards here, baby. Get them. Time to log on. Give it a go. There's a tutorial on how to use it, which I found very useful and very interesting. Not many sites really break it down for you the way that Cardsphere does. So Cardsphere.com, check them out. Today's episode is with Mr. Bevers. Mr. Bevers is a creator that I've loved for watching for a while. His chat Chaos Commander channel series has just been so much fun on his Twitch channel. I've been on it a bunch, was just on it last week with the rest of the Bowlcast crew, and we spent, I think it was something crazy like 70 minutes on Michael's first turn, because the chat had redeemed, I believe, 40-something actions at the beginning of the game, meaning we had to resolve all of those before we even got to Michael's first land drop. And by the time it got to Michael's second turn, everybody died. It was crazy. What a crazy game. The show is so much fun, and you get to have your say. And obviously, we're gonna talk about it in the upcoming call. And I hope you get into it. Bevers is gonna be in Vegas. He's gonna be in Toronto. He's doing a bunch of stuff, and it would mean a lot to me that you subscribe to the Twitch channel. follow it, subscribe to it. Make sure that you check out Mr. Bevers' stuff. He puts on a great show and always fills the pod with amazing people. And, you know, Sheldon Mennery always said, you know, I tend to surround myself with great people and that tends to take care of the rest. I'm paraphrasing, but that's like a quote of his that people have come to associate with him. And I feel like Bevers really embodies that in a big way. And so I've wanted to have Mr. B on the show for since the inception of the podcast, and so stoked that it's happening today. So please, without further ado, please listen up. It's time to chat with Mr. Bevers. And now I'm going to play some music from the soundboard that I don't have connected.
Nice.
Sorry, Ken.
Yeah, boy.
All right, Mr. B, you're up, buddy. Caller, you're on the line with the Bullcast. Who am I talking to?
Oh, is this Mark Cobanza? Is that who this is?
Oh,
I'm here.
I deeply regret that pseudonym. Oh, I deeply regret it so much. It is Mark Carbanza. Mike Carroza, aka Mark Carbanza, on the line. Who am I talking to?
Hey there, it's Mr. Bevers. How are you doing?
Mr. Bevers!
That's right. We're here. Thank you so
what
much
up, buddy?
For answering my phone call. I really appreciate it.
100%. I'm happy to hear from you, buddy. How you been?
You know, I've been keeping pretty well. You know, it's not too bad, not too busy, not too, you know, boring, I guess, is the best way of putting it, right? There's enough keeping active, but not enough that I'm like overwhelmed, I guess. Is that the best way of putting it? That's the best way of putting it.
I think so.
Yeah.
You know what's always striking to me every time we talk on like on some sort of like either on stream or like at an event or anything is that I expect you to be kind of like insane and you're just like cool and calm. It's just that your games are insane.
That's right. Yeah,
Mr.
Chaos
himself.
I put all of the chaos that's within me into the game itself and then I let myself just kind of be an avatar or maybe like a husk or a shell that just carries that energy out somewhere else and lets
and
it
then
just...
at the end you open up your mouth six times bigger than it should go.
Right.
And the chaos energy goes right back in.
You have to unhinge your jaw. Yeah. Have you ever? Yeah. Like, yeah. It takes a lot of training to get it done, to get the unhinging to work. But yeah.
But you're a pro.
Yeah. It's taken a long time, but I'm here now. But it's been
pretty good. Mr. Bevers. Okay. So we're referencing your Twitch stream. You want to give our listeners who might not know you a lowdown on what you do, what your thing in the magic content creator space is.
So I guess my brand, most people will probably know me from Chat Chaos Commander on Twitch or Chat Chaos or Chaos Commander in general, I guess. It's sort of the thing I've been doing on Twitch for about 3 years now, almost. My goodness, it's such a weird number. When I say it out loud, I'm like, this doesn't seem like it should be that long, but it's actually been, I was going through the VODs just three the other years. Day and I was like, holy moly, I started this in 2021. What happened? Where did my time go? Anyway, yeah, so Chat Chaos, where you can spend channel points. Twitch has this channel points thing that you get just by watching. You get those points for free. I let the viewers spend those points to impact the game in various ways. And as Mike mentioned, they're very chaotic. You probably have come across a lot of people doing chaos on their streams or allowing chat to do things to the games. And, you know, that is super cool. I'm super stoked to see that across all those streams and stuff. But that's tame. I'm gonna throw that out there. It's
that's
very
tame.
Whatever you see on those streams is tame. The true chaos comes out.
I can attest to that.
Yeah, yeah.
I could say that a Mr. Bevers stream is where the chat is ruthless. It's almost like the first game you play, because I've done the stream a handful of times. It's almost like the first game you play on Chat Chaos Commander on Mr. Bevers' stream is just not real. It's like there's no game actions that happen because the chat just shows up and says, okay, I'm redeeming 30 things immediately. Now to type lurk, and I'm going to watch this from my couch to watch how they deal with this. And
that's exactly correct.
That's how they do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's definitely people out there that'll show up and redeem. Yeah, exactly like you said, a handful of things and then just never say another word in chat for the rest of the stream.
Absolutely.
And that's totally fine. I'm totally happy with
them.
Yeah, God bless 100%. Them 100%. Yeah. No, it's great.
They are fun. They're partaking. They are the ones that are like, I have sown my seed of chaos and now I watch it bloom. Well, and that's all it is.
This is the thing, right? That's how they're there for. You know that they're sitting there watching the chaos unfold, because if they didn't, they wouldn't have the points to redeem all those things the next time.
Exactly.
Right? That's it.
Exactly.
So you know they have to be there watching the entire thing unfold, which is beautiful. A beautiful thing in itself. But put it lightly, like I don't mean like, you know, there are other streams that do it that they're tame. It's not that necessarily they're doing it well, tame. Those are good redemptions that they have. They are solid, good redemptions that cause impact to the game. Mine is just unhinged. I guess that's the better way of putting it. Unhinged. Yeah. Mine is unhinged.
I'll say my the way I would describe it is other chat streams prioritize the game that's about to happen.
Mm.
And there's a game that's about to happen.
That's right.
Your stream is, let's see how f***ed up we can make this for the players.
Wait,
sorry, Ken. You're gonna have to bleep that out. Let's see how messed up. Yeah, let's see how messed up this can get.
That's right.
For the players, and just let it ride. And it's truly like it's such a fun time. So, okay, I do want to bring up two things before we one thing before we talk about my two favorite things about Chat Chaos. Mm. But last I saw you was in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me to play in a pod out in Chicago to feature the Chat Chaos Commander. And it's a little different live, but I really like it live. You know, do you want to tell us a little bit about how it works when you do it live?
So the live was an interesting thing because it was something that I had adapted to take with me to Sealed, if you remember,
right.
Back in when you and I were at Sealed together.
I'm going again this year, baby.
Brought the wheel.
Yes,
I don't
did.
Know. I don't know if I'm going to Sealed again this year. That's a different. We'll get into that conversation later. But
yeah, another thing. Sure.
But the wheel is what I took to Sealed with me, and it was just it's just a basic spin wheel that you would use to select things, colored, you know, whatever you spin it. Mm-hmm. And what I had done is I just made it so that people donate money to spin the wheel if they want to donate it. In fact, Mike here donated $7 to Trevor Project. Thank you, Mike. $1 so at a time.
Spin the
wheel seven times. So there you go.
I had $7 left, and I wanted to make sure that the impact was felt somewhere.
There we go. Yeah, exactly. So it worked out pretty well for that. But Chicago was a different beast because I was doing this officially.
It wasn't for charities as well.
Well, right. I was doing this official for Wizards. So I couldn't do it for charity without getting a whole bunch of paperwork and like sign off from Wizards to do it for charity, all that kind of stuff. Like you have to go through a bunch more hoops basically because you know
for
you're
sure.
now doing it for a company that's gonna have to be associated with it and all that kind of stuff, so it was a different beast in itself. So I was like, how can I make this interactive not only to the people rolling slash doing the chaos but also to the players who are playing? Because obviously when you're doing chat chaos on Twitch, they can redeem their points whenever the heck they want, right? As they would like to do so. And then there's a queue that builds up that fills with the things that I can see. Okay, you've done this. I can just manage it. Live is a different thing because I have people coming in and like what I had decided was like, I'll just make it a D20, make them roll it and have a chart of things that were like the more common things that people like to redeem on the live stream. So that way it kind of affects the game. Now, I don't know if you noticed when you were playing in Chicago, but we didn't get a variety of things as much as I was expecting. A lot of the die rolls ended up being quite similar, right? The same rolls every time. And I don't know if that was just because maybe the die itself was not weighted
It's an inflatable die. It's not,
exactly. Like maybe it just wasn't rolling properly. I don't know. Like maybe next time what I would do is I would try using the Kesco dice. I don't know, right? The dice, like the foam dice that are oversized, right? So they have a little bit more like heft to them and they roll a little bit better and more randomized, that kind of thing.
That's an idea.
Something like that. But that's basically what I ended up doing. We just had an oversized inflatable D20, as you mentioned. And we had just kind of whoever was walking by, if they saw the die and wanted to roll it, they could roll it. And then that affected the people that were in the pods. I have, been talking with Wizards about doing it more at future events kind of thing. So we're still in discussions about that kind of stuff. There's not much more to tell
for
you other than that. But the point is, is that if that were to occur, I have to kind of fine tune it, I think is kind of the idea. So I would have to find a way to make that die roll work more efficiently, for the tables, because obviously it would probably be more than just the three or four tables that were there.
Oh, definitely.
Would be the idea.
Because that's the difference. The other difference with Commander Sealed's edition and, the Chat Chaos in Chicago is that Commander Sealed, it was kind of like the highlighted table. It was one table playing the game, and people can come by and affect that game by donating to charity of their choice. And it was kind of like the feature match table for Commander Sealed's edition of Chat Chaos Commander.
Correct.
But in Chicago, you had the feature match where it was people that you'd asked to participate in this game. Mm-hmm. And then you had three other tables where people could set up their own pods and just abide by whatever happens in the feature match.
That's correct.
And that was kind of fun. Is like, obviously, the event in Chicago was massive. So if people kept coming over and saying, I'm rolling the die, well, that's a lot of channel points being redeemed. You know what I mean?
Sure was.
And a lot of stuff happening. The games were still interesting. You know, Alan from Mental Misplay, the moment Diana showed up and said there's a pack on the line, started getting real spiky.
Yeah, he got all sweaty. Yeah. And it wasn't even one pack, right? It was three packs, wasn't it?
I thought it was one.
It was three collector packs of Lord of the Rings. Because I talked to her about it after the fact.
Oh, it was.
And I went,
it was.
Why did you put three packs on the line for the winner? And she was like, what do you mean? I'm like, why didn't you say one pack to each of the losers?
Yeah.
Right? That's what chaos is all about, baby. Like, that's.
Buddy, I would have paid all the life I could with my.
That's exactly the thing, right? So it's like, it would have incentivized all of you to not necessarily win, which is the whole point of the chaos structure that I've built into the
chaos is not about the win.
It's not about winning the game. It's about just having a good time with a bunch of friends, right? That's the whole point.
It's the story.
So, exactly.
Again, this is something we agree on when it comes to Commander. Because, look, a peek behind the curtain, folks. Yes, Bevers is calling in. Mr. Bevers is calling into the show. But Mr. Bevers and I are pals. We're both proud Canadian boys. Mm. We shared an Airbnb with other Canadian pals.
What are you talking about,
in Rochester. They go, get out of here. Don't get me started on that one. No accents. I can't do it. So we're pals, and we've had this chat about our philosophy around Commander and EDH and what we hope for, you know, at least for casual Commander, non-competitive Commander. And what we all came down on was this one thing, is that the story is the lasting effect. You can remember winning. You can remember, you know, at the end of the game, getting a pack. You can remember who you played with. But the story is what matters. And so, like, yeah, first of all, Alan won the pack. Alan Mental Misplay won the pack, but he ended up being like, hey, I really want this one card. You guys get to draft the rest of it. And we just kind of sent the pack around picked pieces. And that was also really sweet and fun. And that's something I'll remember because he didn't have to do that. He won. But also, I think what I'll remember most about, you know, Chat Chaos Live in Chicago was all the different people coming over being like, what's this? No, I just want to roll the D20. And you going, that's the point. This, you roll the D20 because of your joy for the D20, but you're going to impact these four games happening.
Yep.
And they're like, sick. And they roll and we all cheer. And then you go through the list and you're like, uh-oh, it's tokens again, which leads me to, I want to talk about the two big deals before we get into your pet peeve or your Bola story.
Sure.
Because again, Chat Chaos Commander is one of the few online streams I'll set up my rig for. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I've got my desk over here where I've got the sorting tray, and I'm making very, very slow work of my collection. But I'll put this away when Bevers sends out the Google Sheets and the calendar saying, hey, I need to fill these pods up. So there are very few streams I'll do that for. You know, Curls is one. Bevers just did the prayer hands and a bow, and you're welcome. But that said, like, I enjoy the chaos of it so much. There are two things that I think about when I think of Chat Chaos Commander. One is chaos crimes, and the other is tokens. Now let's start with tokens since it came up. Tokens, Bevers, you have to explain it every week. Why don't you tell everybody what happens when chat redeems tokens, which they can redeem tokens a bunch of times before the game begins.
So there's a 10-minute timer on it. There's a 10-minute cooldown on it. I had to put it on there because of exactly what you're talking about, which is that people were redeeming it just over and over and over before the game even started.
Immediately.
I had to put a 10-minute timer on it. It doesn't really slow it down, let's be honest. Sometimes it takes us 5 minutes.
Because we're talking at the beginning of the game, too.
And sometimes it takes us 5 minutes just to resolve a tokens anyway.
True, the first
so
one.
Like,
yeah.
It's, you know, anyway, the point is, the way tokens works, as Mike has asked, is starting in play order with the first player, whoever's turn it is, active player, mm-hmm. will flip cards from the top of their library until they reveal a non-land permanent card. They will then make a token copy of that card in play and take mm-hmm. all the revealed cards, including the one they make a token of, and shuffle them and put them on a random order on the bottom of their library. Basically, you just get like a random permanent out of your deck into play for free. Uh-huh. And everyone does that. And I've actually had this come up a few times over the last few streams. People asking about what the order of operations is and with the stack and everything. I'm like, this is chaos. The stack is a very loose term with chaos. So the way it works is it's like the tokens is actually like a triggered ability for each player. So it goes on the stack. Mm-hmm. You resolve yours. The active player resolves mm-hmm. first, which means theirs is the last one to go on the stack. This is the first one that comes off. Mm-hmm. Their token that comes into play, if it has an ETB, that goes on the stack on top of the tokens. So it resolves mm-hmm. before the other tokens resolve. The idea here is to allow for the player who is farthest from the active player to have whatever their token is possibly affect all of the other tokens that have come out, if possible, right? And that's a good thing and a bad thing. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
Who knows?
Right? But if you're the active player, sometimes you get a token on the first turn that's like exile another permanent or whatever, but there aren't any because mm-hmm. no one else has done their tokens yet, so you don't get to do anything.
Exactly.
But you got a free body or something that exiled something and like whatever. You shouldn't really complain that much, I guess. The times you complain is when you get like an aura when you don't have a creature, right? Those are the times where people are like, oh, or they get a 0/0 creature and it just dies immediately because it doesn't have any.
I've seen you flip a walking ballista.
Yeah.
No. I've seen Chris flip a walking ballista twice.
More than
off
once.
Of tokens.
Yes, more than once. Yep.
Chris, a.k.a. Commander Mechanic, played his Vanifar deck in Chicago. And every time we redeemed tokens, his deck is like a modular deck. So mm-hmm. all the creatures are 0/0s. And so he would just get nothing out of it.
Yeah.
It was great. It was so funny.
Yep, that sounds great.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all. Anyway, that's good. But I'll say the other thing, of course, besides, first of all, token, we have to recognize that this is happening in main phases only.
That's right. Like, yeah.
So it's not, it's the pinnacle of chaos is still fine tuned. You know what I mean?
That is correct.
you can't do this show without it being.
I had to limit it. I couldn't.
Otherwise, it's unwatchable.
When I did it the first few months, when I first started doing it, I was just like willy nilly. It just happens whenever. And then I realized that it's too much. You have to structure it a little bit because if you don't, you have random things like chat trying to do stuff in somebody's combat phase. Right.
Right.
And it just doesn't work because they're trying to make like a token to make them give somebody a blocker in the middle of somebody else's
combat
phase.
Not to mention a delay.
Well, exactly. The Twitch delay also occurs. Yeah. So like maybe they're like, I want to do this before that person does this thing. And it's like, it's too late. You're 10 seconds behind and we're already into the next person's turn. So it's too late.
Yeah.
Right. We just made it so that everything's at sorcery speed is basically the difference. There is an exception of two things on the chat chaos redemptions that happen at instant speed or happen instantaneously. And that is, of course, Teferi's Protection, which you can redeem and target a player and make them phase out. And it's happened once to me. Phased out in the middle of my combat step, so I couldn't attack anyone. And it sucked a bunch. Like, I moved to attackers, and I declared attack, and then chat phased me out, and I went, cool. Yep, good. Love this.
This is what I'm talking about. This is it. You're telling this story that you remember vividly because it's so ridiculous.
Yep.
And that's the joy is, look at this silly... Like it or not, it is clever. It's a clever thing to happen.
I wasn't even mad. I actually love that moment, right? Because I was just like, I built this crazy machine and you have punished me and I deserve it. 100% I deserve this.
Yeah, Frankenstein's monster is pinned Frankenstein up against the wall.
I deserve this.
And asking him why.
Yeah. And then the only other instant speed redemption is a new one that I put in this year that you haven't experienced yet, which is maybe it leads into...
Have I seen it already?
I don't know. I don't think you have.
Because I've watched a recent stream.
It's possible that you haven't seen it. It doesn't get redeemed that often.
What is it?
It's called Greedy Fools, and it is specifically to punish artifact token players. So clues, foods, treasures, whatever, you name it,
Okay. It
is,
all right.
It is essentially a split second in I put it in quotes, split second, because split second, you can still sack treasures, but it doesn't, what it does is each player loses life equal to the number of artifact tokens they control or left play from their control this turn. So that way, if you sack the things in response, you still lose the life.
Yeah, but hold on a second. I have a problem with that as a Taysa opulent oligarch player.
Yeah, of course you do. Of course
you
do. And
Mike and Will.
Listen, I have a problem with it too, but it had to happen. It had to happen.
Let's keep it in for a season, how it goes.
That's basically it. It's like, this was an experimental one that I was like, I'll try it for 2024, see what happens. If it gets too out of hand or it kills too many people, maybe I'll take it out. So far, it's only killed like two people in the 4 months we've been running. So
I'll say the other thing that I want to bring up besides tokens is one that I've talked about already, and it is also a seasonal one.
That's right.
Which is chat crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So chaos crimes changes with the season. One season, it was coveted jewel. This is a thing that you could redeem only once a game.
That's right.
And it essentially you give... Like it depending on what it is. Like one season, it was everybody gets a coveted jewel.
That's right.
Every single player gets a coveted jewel,
mm-hmm.
and so you have these combats where you know you're drawing, 12 cards. Mm-hmm. 9 cards, yep. Or maybe 12.
It could be
12. They took it away from you.
Yep.
12 cards, and then you get 12 mana, mm-hmm. and you know a real mess, yeah. Of a situation. Other times it was like doubling season was like one of the early ones, if I'm not mistaken.
Not doubling season. I haven't done doubling season yet. Anointed Procession we did.
Anointed Procession, that's the one.
Which also, let's be fair, Anointed Procession was a mistake on my part, 100%. Because
especially when you're doing tokens.
That's right, exactly that. And the thing is that as soon as you get a token of Anointed Procession, and then you get another token of Anointed Procession, you get, instead of only one, you get two. But then you actually
you get
then
to
start
call
getting,
your old math professor and ask
you
some questions.
You start having to do calculations and math. And no, and let me tell you, if there's one thing that some EDH players hate, it's math. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Even though there's a lot of math involved in the game, there are some players out there that are like, I don't want to do math. How many people do you know that have cut Cathar's Crusade from their deck because they just don't want to?
I just raised my hand.
Yeah, exactly. Like, come on. Like,
it's not even about the math. It's more like I don't want to have to keep track of all these different. I'll make a spirit token on this end step and on this end step and then this end step. And yeah, I'll end up killing you in my Thalise deck. But now I have Moonshaker Cavalry to turn to. You know, I don't need to. Cathar's Crusade so hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, the chat crime changes each month, as you mentioned. Basically what it is, like, it's not even by season. I change it every month. So every single month I change it. It's just always something ridiculous. We did Bolas the Citadel 1 month.
Which is a wreck. What a wild move.
What a popular one, though, let me tell you. Because, you know,
of course.
Here's another thing that we can talk about with EDH players. Every single one of the EDH players you know is greedy.
Yeah, baby.
It's a commonality between every EDH player.
What is it that Dana Roach says all the time? The only life that matters is the last one you have when you win the game.
Exactly my point. Yeah. If you can spend your life, won't you?
Mm-hmm. Buddy, Yawgmoth's Bargain, give me that. I'll take a legal bar. No, I won't. It's so I can't.
I changed my mind. Strike that from the record.
I'm talking as someone who doesn't even play Necropotent. So it's like I don't play it, but I wanna. I don't wanna. And I have a beat up Ice Age one too.
Right,
oh,
right.
I love it.
Yeah.
But that said, what's chat crimes this month?
This month currently. So I don't know when this is going to air, but when we recorded this, the chat crime was Wand of Wonder.
Oh, that's fun.
Now hear me out, okay? Because you're gonna say,
oh, no,
what
you do to it?
What do you mean? What did I do? Of course, I did something.
What'd you do to it?
So, Wand of Wonder, as we all know, costs 4 mana to activate. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, when chat crime gets redeemed at the beginning of the game, nobody has 4 mana.
Uh huh.
So, I said that you get a copy of Wand of Wonder that costs 0 the first time. And then it costs 1 the second time. And then it costs.
So it's like rolling the planar die in the plane chase?
That's correct. So it costs one more every time until you get to four, and it maxes out at four, and it will never cost more than four because that is what's printed on the card.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Fun.
That's it. So that way you can activate it immediately. Now, we had a lot of fun with it in the last episode we did with it. It came out, and everybody activated it on the same turn because they were
of
like,
of course they did.
They were all responding to an Atali entering the battlefield.
Which Atali?
The new one, the flip Atali.
I know the one.
Right?
Of course,
yes, exactly.
One.
Right? So everyone was like, wait, I want to activate this Wand of Wonder before this Atali resolves. And I was like, why? And they're like, because what if? And I'm like, what if what? Wand of Wonder gets an instant or sorcery. Itali's going to care about permanence. Like, what? It's not going to change anything. And if you kill the Atali in response here, nothing happens.
ETB's still going off.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I was like, I don't know what. And so I was the only one that didn't activate my wand. Everyone else did.
And did
they
you
were
win
like,
or
ah.
lose?
No, I didn't win. I died first, I think. But that's okay.
Yeah, well, there's no winning in Chaos, Commander, because the chat will take the win.
That's true.
Every now and then you'll start the game and you'll get to the end of turn one for the table, and everybody's life total is like three or like six. Mm-hmm. One player's already dead. And then there's like a chaos roll on the stack where...
Well, this is how we make it. This is how we entice everyone who's listening to come and check out Chat Chaos, right? The first turn normally takes an hour almost. Everyone's like, oh, what are you doing? The game ends on turn one or two normally. And it's not
faster than CDH.
Like, yeah, if you think about it this way, in terms of time spent in a game, it's about the same as a CDH match. The number of turns you play, probably about the same as well, right? If you think about it, it's just that, people have got eight drops on the table.
It's a good time and it's a mess. And that's what's nice.
For sure.
It is a real mess. I mean, I'll say, oh man, we're deep in this already.
We've been going for a little bit.
Let's trek into your story or pet peeve. Tell us why you're calling.
So I got
not just to discuss.
I got two things
the
for
gorgeousness
you.
Of
okay. I got
chat
two
chaos.
Things for you, and one is the story, and I think the story is going to be real short, right? Because I don't think it's going to be necessarily one you're looking for. But then we can move into a pet peeve if you want, which I have as well. And so
everything works.
The story here is, not necessarily a story so much as it was my experience getting into Commander. Okay.
Ooh.
If we want it to be a story about me, I'll talk about one of the first decks I built, not a precon, not a list online, just a bunch of cards I smashed together into a deck. I came across a card called Knowledge Pool.
Ooh, banger. Okay. Look.
I was like, this card seems really weird and chaotic. It does. It seems very strange. I was like, this is a very interesting card. I was like, I'm just going to throw this card in every deck I build. And so I did that. And I started playing Commander with people online. And they were like, why are you playing this card? And I went, what do you mean? And they're like, do you have a plan? I'm like, no, it just makes the game more ridiculous. And they're like, you need to take it out of every deck that you have it in because you have no plan with it. And not only that, it's just ruining everyone else's time. And I was like, is this card like just hated by the community? I don't understand. And this was me getting into building for the first time. So I had no idea that this was already like a no-no. Like, don't play this card unless you have a specific plan as to how you're going to abuse it. And I was like, okay, but I just want to cast your spells. I just want to cast your spells. Because I'm sure that you have
fast
good stuff in your deck.
Yeah. Fast forward to 2024 where Gonti is a precon face commander.
Shout out. maybe I was ahead of the curve, I guess, at that time. But
yeah, baby.
But like the point is like that's kind of like my Bolas story, I guess, in the aspect of like I just threw it
that
into
you
every
played
deck.
Knowledge Pool.
And I had Knowledge Pool in like three or four decks, and I didn't realize that it was a no card until like four or five pods deep when I had heard from like three or four people from each pod basically being like, you need to not play that anymore.
Well, okay. Look, we could take this story to Morgan and Michael and have a have a discussion about it.
Good.
I'll say Knowledge Pool without a plan can be rough, but in a trusted pod or in a pod that's open to it, it makes things so interesting. Knowledge Pool is one of those cards, man. It's just so cool and weird. I have it in the sideboard of my Prosper deck nice. Because it turns everything into a treasure when he's out.
Right.
And sometimes when you exile, it's only when you cast from your hand that it does that. And already Prosper, my card draw is not it's in my
impulse.
Hand.
Yeah, so, it's all impulse draw.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'll have some stuff that I'll cast from my hand and then it turns into someone's, I don't know, friggin' crater hoof or whatever.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. Like, yeah, like some ridiculous spell that just seems to be in the pool now.
A crater hoof in a Prosper deck, probably
and let's
not
be
great.
Honest,
but
who doesn't
still.
Like a good pool party? Especially when you're a little sweaty.
You nut.
That's right.
I think we're gonna take this story and we're gonna run with it. But let's sure. I do want to hear your pet peeve.
Okay.
Let me read your pet peeve.
So my pet peeve.
We'll see if we trim this down to just one of these or if we let the whole conversation ride. But
my pet peeve is board wipes.
Ooh, just in general.
Okay, just in general. If you want to go specific, I hate Cyclonic Rift. It is like probably one of my biggest pet peeves seeing Cyclonic Rift in people's decks when they don't use it to end games. So that's sort of like the tail end of that pet peeve, right? Like they use the Cyclonic Rift as a defensive mechanism as opposed to an offensive mechanism. And so they go, hey, I'm going to Cyclonic Rift to just not die. And then the game takes another 2 hours because everyone has to rebuild everything. And you're like,
yeah.
Holy moly, learn to read the table. Like, I mean, like, okay, right? And I've heard some stories from people through my years now of Commander where they've had this exact scenario happen where someone psych rift with no plan in place. And the other three players went, okay, you win. We all scooped you, but we're going to play out the rest of this game. Go find another pod.
Yeah. Right?
And like, I'm like, well, that person who psych rift, I guess, kind of maybe brought that on themselves. But dear me, like, that is a way to react. Oof.
That is definitely a way to react. I'll say that's not an ideal way to react.
Not at all. I completely agree with you.
It is funny that this is the second specific board wipe to get chosen as a pet peeve. Farewell. Jason Alt picked Farewell as a pet peeve, and I agree with him as a graveyard player and all. But we also did have an episode with Angelo, the Jess guy, Angelo Guerrera, in defense of cards like Armageddon and Psych Rift, specifically because you have to have the responsibility of ending the game.
Well, this is my point. Is Angelo's point and my point are quite the same, right? Where it's like
the same.
If you're not using that Psych Rift responsibly, then don't play it. Right? This is the difference. And I'm not saying don't put it in your deck. I'm saying don't cast it, right? This is the thing. If you're not going to cast it in a responsible way, don't cast it.
I do think that there are applications where it's the best thing to play. It makes sense.
Sure.
Like, hey, you know, it makes sense to do it offensively. Like you said, hey, I have a board that can take the win if I get rid of all this other stuff. Great.
Heck,
awesome.
Even if you use it defensively, right? But have a plan for your following turn, right? To end the game, by all means, go for it. But if you're in a situation where you're like, I have nothing, and I'm going to psych rift, and then now we're here for 2 more hours doing nothing.
See, this is where we're agreeing. I would like to pause it, not just if you don't have a plan to win the next game.
Right.
If you advance your board state significantly enough to bring yourself up, then it's fine. If you're just playing it to be like, everybody's got stuff, I don't have stuff. Like wipe away the board. It's like, oh, okay, so you just wanted to start a new game.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do that, then we can do that.
We can just draw a new 7, you know?
Yeah. It is wild that like there are some instances where like, yeah, I can't win next turn. But if I Cyclonic Rift on the end step here, I don't have to worry about this onboard counter spell or all these treasures that they have or this this engine that somebody else is going on. And then I come to my turn and I can set up like the 4 pieces that'll not necessarily give me the win, but will at least solidify my footing in that I have a way to go. I have somewhere to move forward. Mm. I agree with that. I understand. I totally get that. I think, again, because I guess last episode would be Angelo's episode we are having a similar discussion and we're on the same wavelength because of the fact that it's like,
perfect.
Don't play these cards, quote, irresponsibly.
Right.
And on that episode, I brought up the Command Zone podcast, who, you know, I'm just giving them a boost. You know, those guys need it.
They need it. Yeah.
The Command Zone. Check them out. They're really cool.
Yeah. They're pretty good.
They're pretty good. Check out the Command Zone. They had a podcast in April. I'm going to date this by saying in April. Mm. Beginning of April, they put out a podcast episode about the unwritten rules of Commander. And they're correct in saying, like, we're not trying to codify this as, like, these are the rules, but these are the things that people kind of expect when they're sitting down in EDH and, like, the social stuff. And they come to this point, which is, like, Armageddon on its own isn't a problem. Armageddon adding 2 hours to a game that otherwise could have ended in, like, 10 minutes and been, you know, essentially another game.
Mm-hmm.
Brutal.
Yep.
Same with Cyclonic Rift. Yep. Same with Farewell. Board wipes. I think that's, you know, that's how you start. Yeah, board wipes are your pet peeve.
Correct.
I think board wipes after an hour, you got to win.
Board wipes,
if somebody's taking off early and you find an austere command that you can, you know, basically use to sacrifice your artifacts to get rid of somebody else's, essentially, that's a move, you know?
And this is why I brought it up the way I did, because, like, there are so many options for one-sided board wipes, right? Or, you know, non-symmetrical board wipes now, right? Like, for instance, Psych Rift, right? Which leaves your board alone, right? If you use it. But the problem is that most people use it in a defensive way and not a way to end games. And so then it does exactly the same thing as an asymmetrical board wipe, right? Where it's like everybody loses the same thing, right?
There is a tier of card that I've begun to remove from my decks because I find them A, unfun, or B, ubiquitous. And there are cards that, like, you know, in some decks, it's just unavoidable. Like a Dockside Extortionist in my Lizolda deck, for example, my pet deck, my girl, you know what I mean? Like that's my Rakdos Sacrifice deck that I've been, you know, pimping out and blinging out. Like I've got my big shiny things. I have my foil Phyrexian Altar from Invasion that I've been chasing since I was a child in that deck. Like, this is my pride and joy. I'm putting Dockside Extortionist in it because it's a reanimator deck. It's an aristocrat's deck. It's going to happen. It's going to, you know, it's fiery. It works, right? But am I going to put Dockside in my, like, you know, Ninth Doctor Clara Oswald upkeeps deck? Nah.
You want those treasures, don't you? Come on.
I want those treasures, but not as much as I want the space to put another upkeep card. There are too many really good, powerful cards. Yeah. You know what else isn't in that deck? Cyclonic Rift. You know why? I found Recantation. Recantation is an enchantment that sits on the board, and every upkeep you get a verse counter. Mm-hmm. And because I'm getting sometimes 5 upkeeps a turn, that ends up being, like, you know, 10 upkeeps. And then all I need to do is pay a mana, sacrifice the recantation, and I pick off a bunch of permanents.
Yep.
You know, isn't that kind of the same thing, but in a more A, flavorful way, or in B, like, you know,
you're definitely not leaning on
not
the crutches,
as powerful
as it were. Right. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You're not leaning on the crutches. There are a lot of crutches in Commander.
Oh, baby.
Right.
But that's Smothering Tithe.
That's a whole other
Rhystic Study.
Listen, you want to get into my other pet peeve, and that's Treasure Players. Okay. All right.
Treasure Players? Hey.
Specifically.
Okay. Now,
and you
now
know
you're
why,
telling
though.
Me to my face?
You know
you're
why,
telling me
though.
To my face?
You know why, though? Oh, right?
Of course I do.
It's back to the greed. Okay. It's back to the 100%. Greed. Everything circles back. Treasures are fine. I completely agree. But I think a lot of Commander players are actually becoming too reliant on treasures. Let's be honest.
100%. Right? Yes. Yes. If it isn't the theme, I try to cut it down.
Yeah.
I think, like, you know, there's let's say if I'm talking about, you know, my my Prosper deck, Prosper's the commander, it makes treasures. You know,
so it makes
it's
sense.
An engine.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Taser Karloff makes
this? the new commander from Outlaws. What's his name?
Which one?
Vividilin or whatever the heck his name is.
Oh, God.
I don't remember
how to say his name.
Yeah, I don't
it's
remember.
It's Vin
yeah,
or something.
Vin
it's
something
like
that. But
it's
like,
the guy that, the Mardu one. The one that's
against that commander just the other day. And holy moly, does it go off with
Vihan.
Treasure tokens. Vihan, that's the one.
Vihan Goldwaker.
And like, it makes sense for you to put things in that deck that make treasures because that's what the commander wants.
Yes.
Right?
The commander wants to turn your treasures into creatures that will then slam.
Right?
Totally.
Yeah.
But like that, I get it. Makes sense, but it's also, that one's kind of brutal. I think that's like a step too far personally.
Just wait till you play against it and you'll be like, oh, what the heck is this?
Oh, yeah, because then turning your treasures into creatures while you have a Pitiless Plunder and a Taste of Karlov isn't enough, is it?
They have vigilance, Mike. I know
they have vigilance. I've read the card. It's a mess. It's a mess. I saw that card and I was like, cancel my pre-order. This deck does not look fun anymore.
It looks like too much. No one needs this card.
It's the first time that I've only bought one pre-con. Anyway, yeah. That's a different... We're going to cut this part up.
That's right. That's
we don't need to know about me buying pre-cons. Sorry, Ken. Mr. Bevers, we've talked about Chat Chaos Commander. We've talked about a story about Knowledge Pool, which I think we might have to discuss over the board wipes. I mean, it's not like we could keep the board wipe discussion in.
Whatever you
but
want.
I think the Knowledge Pool discussion will be more interesting, especially since last episode we talked about irresponsibly using your board wipes. But I do think the conversation surrounding the crutches of the game, as it were, the highly effective support cards. And look, I'll admit, Jessica's Will is up there, but I love me a Jessica's Will. But, you know, I've already cut my Smothering Tides and my Dark Sides and my Cyclonic Rifts and Teferi's Protections. I'll use Jessica's Will. It's not like I've got one deck with all of them in it. No, thank you.
This is
too
when
easy.
We Photoshop Mike as Bilbo. Why shouldn't I?
Yeah, that's me. I can't cast it into the Mount Doom. I'll say another fun thing before we go is, like, you know, you can find Mr. Bevers online. It's the easiest thing to do is check out the Linktree link, right? It's linktr.ee/MrBevers. So, Mr. Bevers. And what you can do is follow him on Twitch, on Twitter, on all the platforms. Make sure to check out the Linktree. And also, I have in front of me a promo card that you gave out in Chicago.
Yeah.
Chaos Warp. And the art on it is done by my girlfriend.
That's right.
You've commissioned for the Mr. Bevers B Team van, and you were wearing a cheese hat. And,
that's right.
You know, and so it's pretty fun. When I came home from Chicago, and one of the first things I did was hand her a card. She was real stoked about seeing it. You know, and it's very nice. It's very cool.
Her art on her on a card. Yeah, on an actual printed card.
Exactly. So it's a really nice feeling. You know, it's real sweet and really cool to also have that connection in that way. And it just goes to show, like, one other takeaway here for the episode is support your community. You're doing, like, you know, if you have an Amazon Prime account and you don't know where to throw that sub, get on Twitch and give it to Mr. Bevers or, you know, someone in the community who might need it. Get
They've
out there and
made
support
it
folks.
Harder now, just so this is, a tidbit for your listeners. They've actually made it harder to redeem your Prime subs now on Twitch.
Oh, really?
There's a new process you have to go through to actually use it. And that's because they want to keep your money, just so that we're on the same page. There is a way to still use it. If you've thought that you can't do it anymore, there is a way. I don't know off the top of my head what it is, but it's like something about, like, elevating your sub or something like that, and that's what does it. I don't know, it's something weird.
Yeah, well, just look it up and do the right thing. I think the idea that I'm still pushing towards is Mr. Bevers and I met because we love this game and we are part of the online community of Magic players who like to talk about Magic, and you listening are part of that community, whether you are a vocal person, whether you're somebody who is a content creator, whether you're somebody who is, you know, putting yourself out there or keeping yourself private. If you're engaged in this stuff, that's, you're part of this community. And it's always fun to see folks supporting others in this community. And I got to say, like, this podcast has been going on for some time now. By the time this comes out, it's been going on for some little while now, less than a year, but still a little while. And I really appreciate everybody that's been so kind and so good. And I do think that I need to do a better job at saying, yes, you can follow these folks online, but get in there. Watch an episode of Chaos Commander. I promise you it's a mess, but it's a good time. And the same goes for all of our guests that have been on the show. Check out Sam at Ristic Studies on YouTube. Listen to the EDH Reccast. You know, check out the Command Zone as well. They need it. They're the small fish.
Yeah, they're the underdogs. You know, yeah.
Yeah, Rachel and Jimmy have both done episodes. You know, luckily we've had really cool and interesting folks like Amara's. Also check out her stream, and Kuro Hitsuki. Mm-hmm. I'm signing up for another one next month, so nice. I'll be doing a stream again soon. It is a hobby that is, in the grand scheme of things, pretty niche, right? And we are a small community, but we're really loud and really interested in what we're doing. And I have to say that everybody that's been vocal about this podcast and has enjoyed it, that rules. It means a lot to me. And I can only ask that you pay it forward and do the same for the folks that we champion on the show, like Mr. Bevers. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Mr. Bevers. Check him out, Linktree/Mr. Bevers, for all the information you need. Get him on Twitch. Get him on Twitter. Get all of it. Get in there. Check out Mr. Bevers. And now we're going to cut back to the studio and chat with Michael and Morgan about Knowledge Pool and then probably more stuff. But I want to talk about Knowledge Pool real bad because we're gonna do that.
Hey there, Ken the Editor here. As mentioned earlier, due to some illness, the crew was not able to get together to record this week. But we didn't want to miss out on an episode for you. And also, we didn't want to screw over Mr. Bevers. He is a really nice guy. I've met him before. I actually have a pen from him that I got at a con 7 years ago. It's really cool. I keep it on my desk. Mr. Bevers, cool guy. Sorry about that. But tune in next week when I'm sure Carbonzo talks for way too long and regrets a new life choice. Solani will probably be too satisfied with his own cheekiness. I believe that will happen. And of course, as always, Sanchez will pretend that she's not 10 times smarter than everyone else as to not hurt their feelings. So tune in. And until then, dear listener, scoot the day.